It's time to talk about Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. And now, here's Ira.
Let's play word association. What do you think of when I say Las Vegas? Gaming, entertainment. Well, if you're my guest, Pam Ashland, it's Swizzle Sticks. That's right, Swizzle Sticks. Pam is a passionate collector and founder of the Swizzle Stick Collectors Club, SSCC, whose mission is to celebrate and preserve the humble Swizzle Stick as both a collectible and as an art form. And with more than 50,000 Swizzle Sticks in her collection, she has earned the moniker of Queen of the Swizzle. And Las Vegas is in her sights. She will be mingling with attendees at the Casino Collectibles Association's 32nd annual show, the world's largest casino memorabilia show, which runs June 12th through the 14th at South Point Casino. And she'll also present a Swizzle Stick seminar there on June 13th. For everything on the show, go to ccgtcc.com. That's ccgtcc.com. And for everything about Pam, go to houseofswizzle.com and follow her on Instagram at houseofswizzle. Pam, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ira. Happy to be here.
I read about you and I was intrigued by the fact that you are this amazingly passionate collector of Swizzle Sticks. You look like a normal person. So how did that start?
There's just nothing normal here. It really started in a completely happenstance way. My mom had one just laying around in the house, and it was a skull from the Ivanhoe restaurant in Chicago. And it was just cute. And she told me about going dancing there and how they had guys like dressed up like skeletons who would kind of pop out at you. And, you know, the whole lore about the Ivanhoe just was really interesting to me. And I held on to it for a long time. And then just random coincidence, it was stolen when I moved in a group of jewelry. So I lost it and I went on eBay to try to replace it. And I found it in this big bag of Swizzle Sticks. I bought the whole darn thing. And the rest is history.
So you didn't care about the jewelry. It was that Swizzle Stick that was missing. I understand.
At the time, it wasn't about Swizzle. It was about sentimentality and also a little tiny connection to a history where, you know, dining and dancing and skeletons. And, you know, we don't have that kind of dinner experience now. It's just like a romance of the past.
So. Oh, no, I get you. It's a piece of history, too, and nostalgia. And it represents a point in time. And that's the same with some of the Swizzle Sticks from Las Vegas, which we'll get to, but a little bit more about you. So you are founder of the Swizzle Stick Collectors Club. And so you found people with a similar interest in Swizzle Sticks. Are there sub-genres of Swizzle Stick collectors? So someone just wants to collect Las Vegas Swizzle Sticks. Someone just wants to collect nightclub Swizzle Sticks or Chicago Swizzle Sticks, as you mentioned earlier, Chicago, or animal Swizzle Sticks. Are there all those various branches?
All kinds, more than you could even, or even I could imagine. There are people who collect airline Swizzle Sticks, things where if you're a fan of airlines, you might not specifically be looking for Swizzle Sticks, but when you find out there's a whole set, like Continental made an individual Swizzle Stick for every destination route. So it would be like a Colorado with a skier or a pineapple for their flights to Hawaii. And so people get into that for airlines. And then we have alcohol promotionals, oddly enough, because they just had a lot of money and made a lot of expensive Swizzle Sticks or good looking Swizzle Sticks. So Vegas was big for me, airlines, and then my hometown was Chicago. So I started with Chicago, but you know, once you take a little step in, be careful.
Now, how do you store them, display them? there has to be, I assume, some sort of system so you're able to, when someone comes over to visit and says something like, Pam, I'd like to see this whistle stick from this casino in Las Vegas, you know where to go for that, right?
Yeah. So I, all the collectors I knew previously before me, almost universally filed alphabetically or by state. And both of them, it just becomes almost impossible. Like if you were looking for Vegas casino sticks, you'd have to look under D for Dunes and M for MGM and et cetera. So I chose to depart from all that and to collect and store by themes of interest and then of specific stories. So if it was the MGM Grand, it would be all of the swizzle sticks by MGM Grand. It would show the history of their logo, which gets me into a whole other rabbit hole. So I love the history of the logos and how they changed over time, how they were made, the kind of plastic they were made out of, the manufacturer who made them, where it just... Yeah, chasing rabbits everywhere. I chose themes, but I have a whole room with shelves floor to ceiling with boxes that are so on a good day I can lay my hands on everything, but on a bad day that one thing that I'm looking for I can't find. So
I would imagine if you have a convention somewhere and you want to bring some of your collection to the convention just for display, not necessarily sales.
Yes.
Because they're so small, generally speaking, swizzle sticks are not as big as if you're collecting cars. I mean, you're not in Atlanta where you have a whole garage full of cars. You have a room full of swizzle sticks. But I would imagine you're able to transport a certain number fairly easily if you pack right, unless you ship ahead, but I don't know.
It can be a mess if you just put them all in a box, and it can be a giant load of stuff if it's just you have to carry it all in. I make display boxes that are just the things that I want to showcase, whether if I'm talking about voodoo and vampires, then that's pretty much all I bring. Now, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, when your family discovered your hobby, did they disown you or they went along with it?
They said they don't want to enable me.
Yeah, I understand. But I bet you have friends that they're visiting, for example, another country, and they're at a restaurant or bar in another country or some esoteric location, and they come across a swizzle stick from that venue, they think of Pam and they bring it back for you. Would I be correct?
Oh, yes. Yeah. And I try to never turn one down, but now there's a household rule that if I bring one into the house, I have to get rid of 10.
Wow, not even just one, 10. Okay.
No, it's got to be 10 to 1. This is out of control. So, yeah.
Now, this is a morbid question, but you'll understand why I ask it. Because of the uniqueness of the collection, are you bequeathing your collection to not necessarily the Smithsonian Institute, but some swizzle stick foundation or maybe the organization, the Collectors Club itself? What are you going to do when it's time to, when it's time for you to leave us? What do you do with the swizzle sticks?
That's exactly the question I asked myself when I went to this first swizzle convention that was not put on by me, but an earlier organization. And what I saw was a room full of older folks. You know, the youngest were on the 50s, 60s side, and the oldest were 70s, 80s. And each one of them had huge collections that they'd worked their whole lives on. And I could see that feeling of this is all going to be lost, and I give it to the kids. The kids are going to just dump it at Goodwill or throw it away. I talked to all of them and they just really didn't have an interest in preservation. They were just having fun. So my dream is to have a swizzle stick museum, but if I don't, I'm hoping to have maybe smaller exhibits that are connected to like bars or restaurants where people might enjoy and have fun seeing them. I did a pop-up exhibition at the Museum of Natural History in my own office in the finance department. So I wasn't officially part of the museum. what I did, because they're so small and it's so hard to connect with them, is I usually have a poster or a photograph of significance that has to do with the backstory of the swizzle stick. Maybe they also came with like mugs or larger souvenirs type of things. And I'd kind of combine them all so that you could see the history in a large way. And then the little swizzle stick is just framed right in there to say, look what I see when I look at this little piece of plastic.
Do you get requests occasionally for interviews from media that, or do you, or maybe a different way to ask it is, do you get calls from people who are researching a particular casino? Let's go back to Vegas for a second, a casino, and they know about what swizzle sticks are, but they don't necessarily know what it was for that period. Or maybe there's a film that's being made about a certain period of time in Las Vegas. Will you get a call from the production company saying, hey, can we borrow some of these swizzle sticks for our film?
I have had lots of magazine and interviews for magazines and blogs. I have not ever had a, an interview in a media or something, which I would love. And they'd have to like edit me down a lot.
Well, yeah, I could see that you becoming the resident expert. And clearly that's one of the reasons you're going to be at, as I mentioned, the upcoming show in Las Vegas. Yeah. When did you start becoming interested in Las Vegas particularly, or let's say one particular casino in Las Vegas? And then you decided, you know, Las Vegas is fascinating. I'm going to start collecting swizzle sticks as I lose all my money on the slots.
Yes. Yeah, there, everyone took one home, and there's probably more Vegas sticks historically, you know, around that survived than a lot of other places for the reason just of the sheer volume. But with Vegas, I had a couple of them, and I thought, well, you know, Vegas kind of cool, gangsters, whatever, you know, sort of that kind of imagery.
Well, we prefer to call them mobsters rather than gangsters.
Yes,
mobsters. That's why we have the mob museum, don't we? Have the gangster.
I love the mob museum, by the way. That's like one of my favorite museums. But what I was struck with is the dunes imploded. The Tropicana, you know, the what were all the implosions of? Wait, I have a list of.
Oh, there's a lot: Stardust, Hacienda, Riviera.
Yeah.
Dunes,
so it was like
Landmark.
The Dunes imploded in 1993. The Sands 1996. The Hacienda 1996. The Aladdin 1998. The Desert Inn 2001. The Stardust 2007. The New Frontier 2007. And I felt like, oh my God, this is really going fast. Like this history, you won't be able to pick up a dune swizzle stick or, you know, or even anything. So I think that Casino Collectors Association that I'm speaking at their conference, they would probably know so much more about the history of the Vegas stuff and probably correct me a lot, but they may or may not know about the swizzle sticks and how you can kind of infer some of the stories. I want to give you just a quick example, which is, you know, the MGM Grand, which we all probably know, iconic lion, you know, we know it was more elaborate at one point and then it's kind of, you know, changed over time. But I found one that was the flying monkey, a yellow swizzle stick from the MGM Grand with a flying monkey, the Wizard of Oz flying monkey. And it's like one of those things where you could just look past it. You could say, that is so strange. What on earth? No. So I don't know if anyone who knows long histories of MGM knows more than I do. But, you know, they had this big emerald green building and it had a Wizard of Oz theme to begin with. And then almost all of it was gradually torn down. And only thing that I could find left of it was this little flying monkey swizzle stick.
So did that start your journey? Journey is a word that's used all the time now, but did that start your path or journey? Did that start your journey to collecting swizzle sticks from Las Vegas casinos and other venues in Las Vegas?
Yes. Okay. It was kind of like color me obsessed.
Yeah, no, I understand. So because you don't live in Las Vegas, I'm thinking it's a big cost to, even just to get here to get the swizzle stick. So I'm sure you didn't.
I live in LA, but
yeah, still.
Well, you know, I focus really on the historical ones from the 50s, really the 30s through the 70s, but there's so much going on.
If you focus on those, how did you start to collect those? Did you correct them contemporaneously, or did you end up going to people that had these swizzle sticks in their own collection and started to barter?
That is also another $1 million question.
I only ask $1 million questions here, Pam. That's I'm known for
people,
that.
Yes, you do. I love it. So a big joke when people see my collection is, did you have a drink for every one of those?
Well, just for the record, for our listeners and viewers, Pam is not drinking right now, so we're okay.
No, not that you know of.
Yes, not that I know of, correct.
No, only coffee. So,
How did you get, in other words, how did you get some of the swizzle sticks from a historical period?
Right. So a lot of people did leave them to me, not so much in a will, but when they left, their family called me. And so I either bought or, you know, acquired or was given swizzle stick collections of other people. So I had one that was 12,000 swizzle sticks, which I thought was going to be the beginning, end, and the ultimate of my collection. But no. There were 40,000 waiting for me in Montreal last week, and I drove to Canada to pick them up.
How? Okay, does that fit in the trunk of your car? That made?
It didn't fit. I had a huge van, and when we got there, it was like, uh-oh. So many. So we did a lot of consolidating to get them all in the van. And then I really thought we were going to have trouble going across the border with a van full of dusty boxes floor to ceiling.
Yeah, they might be smuggling swizzle sticks across the border.
I was smuggling something I felt like we were just going to be a real red flag. And I was thinking we're going to get searched or something. So I had a few swizzle sticks in my hand. I showed the border guard, and I said, yep, I'm collecting these, and these ended up at an auction, and they look like these.
Yeah, I want to point out for our listeners that you're holding a green swizzle stick, and the figure is a little hard for me to make out. Can you tell us what that is?
Yeah, this is a swizzle stick from the dunes, and this is the Sultan that was on the exterior.
Yes, I see it now. Yes, indeed.
At the beginning, and he was torn down. So, you know, I had to find that on postcards, you know, photographs and images of the original dunes front before they changed, you know, modernized a lot.
Sure. So, what do you estimate the age of that swizzle stick?
Well, like in this one, I don't have the age right on the top of my head, but this one you can date to when they tore down that exterior Sultan. So once this elaborate was torn down, they didn't make the swizzle stick anymore. So logos often can give you a clue to the age. Otherwise, you're just into what kinds of manufacturing of plastics existed now and then.
Sure.
So there was, you know, until like the space age, there wasn't injected molding plastic. So you're not going to find something that's older than the 60s from that kind of style. And then nowadays they make laser swizzle sticks that are very, they're simple. They don't have a figural aspect. They're not three-dimensional.
Right.
And they're flat
or two-dimensional rather than the three-dimensional.
Yeah. So when I went to have one made for House of Swizzle, I made one, and it was, I don't get a clear view of it, but it's...
Yes, that's orange color. Yeah.
Yeah, it's way, it's neon. I had neon orange and neon pink and the rare collectible purple, which I have a few of.
Have you ever encountered anybody in your club that has also started to collect, in addition to swizzle sticks, swizzle stick manufacturing machines?
Ooh, no. Oh, I would love that.
Oh, no. Then your family would have to get rid of the entire collection of swizzle sticks in order to get those machines in the house. I don't think that's going to happen.
No. No, but I did find a photograph of the assembly line of a swizzle stick manufacturer where you could see them taking them off of the assembly line and putting them into boxes and, you know, stamping out these swizzles. They were hot and sweaty. They did not look like a happy crowd making those.
I would imagine not.
So I haven't gone that far. I do. If I get on a tangent like that, then I'll just document it with photographs, not with swizzles.
Do you find that there is a difference between fellow collectors when you meet with fellow collectors at a convention or trade show or that type of thing versus when you meet, I would call them civilians? As an example, when you're going to be presenting a seminar coming up, as I mentioned earlier, on June 13th at the Casino Memorabilia Show, is it a totally different reaction to you from those people, the civilians, than it is from the fellow collectors? In other words, are the fellow collectors, the word isn't cynical, more experienced, I guess, so they're not going to get as overly excited seeing something because they've seen a lot of stuff. Whereas civilians, mm-hmm. you show them a couple of three-dimensional swizzle sticks from various casinos, that gets them going. I don't know if that's the same, and I may be wrong. Is that the same with collectors, or are they kind of blasé about it?
Oh, God. I'll give you a quote from a earlier generation big collector named Bill Price, who actually, I think, was featured on the David Letterman show in 1988, but I haven't been able to prove it yet. His quote was, "People always belittle what they don't understand."
Well, no, I would think that civilians would be impressed, but the fellow collectors might just be blasé because they have so many of them. They don't get excited necessarily about a that's what I'm getting at.
Well, it's kind of the opposite almost. Collectors get excited about it because they'll say, "Oh my God, do you have the Flying Monkey swizzle stick? I'd love to have that one," you know, something like that. But if you're talking, you know, to your friend, someone at work, someone who introduces me, Pam collects swizzle sticks. It's just a blank face. Like, What is a swizzle stick?
Well, I could understand why that reaction, if you think about it, Pam, because they don't associate the history behind the particular swizzle stick. So if, for example, you have a swizzle stick from the dunes, they just see it as a swizzle stick. They don't know that it represents a period of time in time and a certain place and all of the history.
Yeah. I have to even start with, why would you even collect something that's little in plastic and used to be in someone's drink, which is not necessarily hygienic.
I'm assuming that the collectors have a professional way of cleaning all the swizzles and then they display it and it's kept dust free. I, if you're a serious collector, I'm sure you take care of the swizzle sticks. But sure. But on the other hand, I'll play the devil's advocate on the other side of it, which is it's very light, small. So it's easy to collect as opposed to if you want to collect cars, which requires a substantial investment, storage, space, maintenance, et cetera. You collect swizzle sticks, you may have to dust them off every so often, but other than that, they don't require much.
Right. Just keep them out of the sunlight because plastic fades. I found out the hard way when some of the pink ones turned white. So,
well, what do you have? Why do you have them sunbathing? They should never be in.
I know. I learned that real early on. Yeah.
Now, what's the most surprising thing that you've come across in Las Vegas in terms of the swizzle stick collection? And was it based on a trip you made up here? And it could be a contemporary one, too, in the sense that may not be the dunes or the landmark or Hacienda or Stardust or any of the Desert Inn you mentioned, too. It may be a current casino and there maybe have a very unusual swizzle stick, or is today's casino not that enamored of swizzle sticks? So they don't really put a lot of effort into it. You mentioned the two-dimensional ones that are made now. So, but are there still surprises for you?
Interesting, not so much because they still even have a swizzle stick. They're just unassuming and they've been made very cheaply. Of course, the cost is a big driving factor. So they are more unassuming and have less stories. I think the flamingo still has swizzle sticks and I love flamingos just in general. So, but the swizzle sticks that I had from the early days are incredible. And the ones now are just kind of a very, very flat, simple flamingo. If you put them next to each other, you'd want the old one, but you might or might not care about the new one.
I mentioned earlier about you getting calls from film companies in terms of asking to borrow for a shoot and that kind of thing. But have you ever had a call from a casino looking to, maybe they're doing something special for their casino players and they want to give a historical reference to, did you ever get a call from a casino wanting to borrow some of the, of your swizzle sticks from their particular casino?
No, but I'm hoping they do.
Well, they might not that we mentioned it because I could just see a special event and they wouldn't have it available to everybody as far as drinks, but on display so they could get a sense of it.
Right. I did have a call, someone who reached out from the Instagram account and it was a prop stylist and they were doing a photo shoot for, I think, Bon Appetit. And they called to rent the swizzle stick.
Oh, there you go. Exactly. All right.
Yeah. So I put them all together in themes and shipped them. She paid everything and she paid to rent them and to ship them back and forth. And it was quite fun knowing that someone was actually discovering them too for the first time.
Right. When you go to Las Vegas these days, are you still trying to get swizzle sticks that have some character, or you've been resigned to the fact that it's just going to be two-dimensional, kind of cheaply made swizzle sticks?
I never resign. You know, if not casinos in Las Vegas specifically, I think it's Frankie's Tiki Bar
There's Golden Tiki as well. So there's several.
Golden Tiki makes beautiful swizzle sticks. So there's been kind of a resurgence of that elaborate kind in the tiki restaurant and bar community. So there's, you know, this big boom that slowly starts in the 30s, peaks, you know, in the 70s, 80s, and is gone by the 90s. But in the 90s, all of a sudden, tiki collectors and tiki fans just started making them. And people will go just to that restaurant or bar just to get the swizzle stick.
Amazing.
And on the way, you know, drop $90 on a round of drinks because they aren't cheap.
No, exactly. And if you're going to spend that money, you get to keep the swizzle stick.
Yeah. And if you ask for two, they're kind of like, well, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's a great way to leave it. My guest has been Pam Ashland. She's the queen of swizzle, and she'll mingle with attendees at the Casino Collectibles Association 32nd annual show. And that runs June 12th through the 14th at the South Point Casino. She'll also present a swizzle stick seminar there on June the 13th. And for information on the show, go to CCGTCC, that's CCGTCC.com. For everything about Pam, which is a lot of stuff on there, houseofswizzle.com, houseofswizzle.com. Follow her on Instagram at houseofswizzle. And Pam, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Ira.
See you next time.
Okay.
You've been listening to Talk About Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. Hey, Las Vegas.